Welcome, everybody. This is the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Allen, and I'm joined by Jordan and Vike. How are you two going today?
Doing well.
Boink, boink. Can you hear those kangaroomers? They're out and about this week, lads. I'll tell you.
Oh, yes. We do cover the PS5 news, reviews, and rumors.
Kangaroomers.
This is such a serious start to the podcast. It's going to go so much against our epic theme song, like the intro.
It was very subdued. While we're on that, maybe I need to make a bit of an apology as well.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to apologize to anyone that I or this podcast led astray thinking that Gollum was going to be worth anyone's time.
We all said it was going to be bad.
Goodness me. No, I said it would not be bad. I maintained that I was like, surely it can't be that bad. Yeah. And they blew my expectations right out of the water. Goodness gracious. What a disaster.
Well, I had a copy, but I didn't even start it. Just looking at the backlash online, I'm thinking, what's the point? It's obviously not very good.
No. And the fact that it's actually so bad that, like, reading from reviews, people saying that it doesn't even feel like a game in some parts. It just feels like nonsense. So I can't even pretend that I'm going to ever give it a go, because just looking at it, it's like, oh my God, what went wrong?
When I saw the Gollum character model, that's when I knew it was all gone wrong. What is that?
It could have been like an art style choice. It could have been like maybe this is just the art style they've gone with, you know, where the game comes out, it'll be fine. And then it turns out, no, it's just like that the character model was actually as good as it got.
That's funny, because GeForce NVIDIA had all this DLSS stuff involved, and they were pushing the game for graphic, you know, pushing it as one of the premium graphic sort of games on their websites and on their socials. And I'm thinking, are we watching the same thing? Are we looking at the same thing? I thought it looked like a PS3 game. That's the first thing I said when they showed off the gameplay.
It's closer to a PS2 game. That bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's real bad.
Yeah, Vike, you're muted, you idiot.
Check the chat. And open that picture, and that's what Gollum looks
Tommy
like.
Tommy Pickles from Rugrats. Yeah, nice man.
Does he not? Does he not? But I think what sums it up for me is, and there is this annoying trend that is going on that I think we should start getting concerned about, is...
I know where you're going with this.
Is it the apology?
Yeah.
Right? Every studio is doing this apology, and people have pointed, like, apology.jpg, where it's... You know, we've seen it from Naughty Dog. We've seen it from Redfall. We've seen
Cyberpunk
it from Gollum.
Was one of Cyberpunk. The yellow, the bright yellow.
The bright yellow.
Bright yellow background, yeah.
And the funniest thing that just sums it all up is the apology that the studio, I think it's what, Daedalic, who made Gollum, Lord of the Rings Gollum. So the title of, on the top of the apology, it says The Lord of the Rings Gollum, right? So it says the full name there in the picture. Then this is... The apology. Dear players, we would like to sincerely apologize for the underwhelming experience of many of you have had with The Lord of Ring Gollum. If they don't even know how to spell their own game properly, well, that just says it all, doesn't it?
That can't be right.
So,
there's no way. You made that up.
No, I've got it in the chat. No. The Lord of Ring Gollum.
It's so bad, because it's not like the interns jumping onto... you know, Canva making this and uploading it on his own. Like, surely this was proofread.
Yeah, like, and look, no, I know
clearly,
that.
Clearly it wasn't. So clearly the intern is just jumping on Canva, whipping something up quickly and then uploading it. That might have been what they did with the game. They might have just jumped on Canva, put some moving images together and then whacked it on the PlayStation store.
I know that Daedalic, they're a German studio, so I can understand that English might not be their first language. But the real sin is that the correct spelling is at the top of the apology. Like, the correct spelling is there for them to use. So it's just funny. But, you know, release dates never being real and true, we've just accepted the norm of lies from game developers. You know, if they say the release date is, you know, this date, we know it's not coming out that day. We know it's going to be delayed. I can't remember the last game that actually came out on the day they initially announced. You know,
that's
we always
the story with God of War, remember?
Exactly.
Whoever likes his tweet, I'll give you $1,000 if it comes out.
100%. And, you know, the existence of day one patches because the game runs terribly if it doesn't. You know, back in the day before day one patches, what happens? You're screwed. Yeah. Or you'd have to, like, put stickers on CD boxes and update the CDs, but that's a huge problem.
And like, I feel like that's a side effect of the way that the industry works now, where, like, I compare it to my experience writing school reports. Mileage of this analogy will vary greatly, but just stick with me for a second. I could start doing my reports, like, 2 months out, and I could start them on a slow burn and get them going, and then as the deadline approaches, be like, all right, few little things I need to tidy up, and then there we go. But if I don't have that hard deadline of like, these go out, you know, on this date, you must have them done by then, there's no urgency of me getting pushed to have it ready by then. Because we can do day one updates now and things can be fixed after launch, and because it's the nature of the beast that sometimes games come out broken and players have to be patient so that they can play it in the state that it's been marketed as, you know, a week after launch. No, I'm not going to cast a wide net and say all developers, but there are clearly some developers who take that as to their advantage. And, you know, I wouldn't even say it's more the developers. I'd say it's more the publishers going like, hey, we need to hit this date because it falls into this financial quarter or this fiscal year or whatever. And then the developers sort of have to take it on the chin because they answer to their higher ups, and their higher ups answer to their shareholders, and their shareholders answer to money. So, you know, I feel like that's the nature of the beast as it is now. But yeah, you're right, Vike. Back in the day where there was like, this cartridge is getting printed on the 21st, you need to make sure it's all done before then. And that includes all bugs squashed out of it, all that sort of stuff. Whereas that's not a thing anymore because of everything being so readily, with patches being pushed, hot fixes being put out there, like, it's just not a thing people have to worry about anymore because there's no urgency. Because why would you need to be urgent about it when it's an easy fix, in quotes?
No, you don't have to buy into that. You don't have to pre-order. Like, you guys don't really pre-order these days either, do you?
Never pre-order.
No, I don't, because I'm so skeptical that there's no benefit really to pre-order. Yeah.
That's the thing with Final Fantasy, the pre-order numbers are down, but I feel like it's probably just a bit of that.
When I really think about it, guys, with digital, you can now pre-install. So pre-install, I don't consider that a pre-order. You know, you're pre-installing it, right?
Yeah,
we have to pre-order to pre-install.
That's the thing.
No, you can like a day before, right? Don't the games be available for pre-download?
Yeah, but you have to buy pre-order.
Yeah, but that's not like a pre-order. That's just a day early, you're going to buy the game for pre-install. Like, you can call that a pre-order, but I'm talking about weeks in advance.
Pre-order, right? Yeah.
What I'm saying is, aside from maybe the installation of day one, where you're hitting the ground running, there is no benefit to the consumer. I don't see any tangible benefit. Skins,
don't you want some cosmetics, stickers? Don't you want some stickers? Maybe a beanie like I got from Infamous Second Son?
Like, hey, I'll tell you, the beanie was sick.
Delphin Row beanie?
I still had that Seattle 138 Maroon beanie. But those days are gone. There's no like tangible, unless you're getting the collector's edition with statues and art books and like you said, George, like beanies or Call of Duty with their bloody fully functioning night vision goggles and RCXD. There's no benefit to pre-ordering, and the downside is so bad.
Depends on the game, though.
I agree, but
Cyberpunk Cyberpunk or Red Dead? They had a full map of the game in the box.
But even so, it's just bric-a-brac.
Yeah.
Because
I know.
And Rockstar probably excluded from this because they always do such a good job. But The downside is so far outweighs the upside, because the downside is you get a broken game that requires this long ass patch that gets released on the day anyway. So there's no point in pre-installing because you've got to download a patch. Otherwise, you play this incredibly broken game. Look at Jedi Survivor, right? Phenomenal game. I loved Jedi Survivor, but it crashed on me so many times.
But did they get affected by that? No.
No, and I played it weeks in advance, right? I played it weeks later. So yeah, what I'm saying,
but they sort of skid under the radar a bit for that.
It wasn't a great launch, but they're
fine. Like millions of copies, everyone's kind of happy still.
But that's what I'm saying. The downside, the potential upside of pre-ordering Jedi Survivor, there's no upside. You only get the downside, which is
what I'm saying is we're not giving them a hard enough time, obviously, because they keep doing it.
I agree with that too.
Again, because really, at the end of the day, it's not the developers who are doing this. It is the publishers who are after the money that are pushing them when they're not ready. Like, look at all the stuff that's gone on with Redfall now. There was all that talk of, should the game have been held back?
Because... Yeah, what happened with that? It was
so basically, Phil Spencer did that interview with Kind of Funny where on the Xcast where they talked about, maybe we weren't as involved as we should have been.
Strange interview.
Yeah, maybe we weren't as involved as we should have been with Redfall, during its development, making sure it had that Microsoft quality and all this sort of stuff. And then it's come out recently that apparently they knew for a while that Redfall wasn't going to be it. They knew for quite a while that it just wasn't hitting, that it didn't seem like Arkane was the right match for it, which I feel like most people could have told you that Arkane wasn't a very good match for what they wanted this game to be. And so that was why it came out in the state that it did, and that's probably why we'll never see anything from this.
I'm shocked that they released it in such an open window where there was nothing else out, instead of burying it in between two big games in September or October.
Yeah.
They gave it such free space to
be ridiculed on. Yeah.
Well, hold on. I want to know what Vike thought was strange about this interview. What did he say?
He was just very defeatist.
He was super grumpy.
And he just
strange.
He's like, we're kind of screwed. I don't know. He just wasn't speak. Not we were screwed. He didn't say that, but he was just so defeatist in his mentality. Yeah. It just looked like he
did say at the start
after
of the
10 years of losing.
Yeah, he admitted he's like we're not compete. Like we can't compete with PlayStation. That was another thing he said in the interview. We're running a different race now because we got obliterated in the race we were trying to run. So we're not even competing there now. It's a different race. Market and mind share, we can't make up.
Xbox are kind of like Ferrari in the F1.
Ferrari
have won in 20 years? No.
Does Ferrari have a whole bunch of games they show that never come out?
They have a whole bunch of races they never finish. That's what they do.
Yeah. The one last thing I want to say about pre-orders is I can only think of one time where a pre-order might have helped me, and it was when Neo came out. And it was when it came out, there wasn't much fanfare leading up to it. And then when it released, people were like, whoa. And this was one of the earliest Soulsborne copies. It was like, wow, this is a really fresh take on Soulsborne. It's fast paced. It's this because it was before Sekiro as well.
Mm.
And I remember calling.
So you pre-ordered that? Nice.
No, I didn't. I should have because I had to call three different JB Hi-Fis. And the one I called was like, oh, yeah, we've got one copy. We only got three copies in.
Oh, God. Because it's a bit of a niche down here.
Yeah, because it was a niche at the time.
Probably not anymore,
but it was, yeah. That was the only time I can think of where pre-ordering actually helped me. Other than that, no point pre-ordering anymore.
As in, the stock wasn't there. But
I had to go an extra 15 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah, like pre-ordering the new Vision. The Vicarth, you're going to buy that? Apple's Vision, the new headset?
Probably
$5,000 Australian.
I may be a prisoner of the Apple ecosystem, but I'm not that much of a prisoner. So
yeah, isn't that ridiculous? It's like, wow, $3,500 US.
Yeah.
So we're looking at probably double that here.
We are. 100%.
Like I reckon at least 6,000 Aussie dollars.
I think that's crazy, but that's another podcast. Yeah. No, anyway, it's sad that Golem has got such bad reviews and Redfall, but besides those two games, I would argue this is shaping up to be one of the greatest years of all time for gaming.
It definitely has the metal to be there. There's definitely enough already that's come out. And that is slated to come out too, that could mean it. I've said before that I've had a kind of personal disappointing start to the year with games, just not a lot that's really vibed with me and hit with me, but Spider-Man's coming soon. I'm really excited about Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I know there's lots of stuff that other people have played that's really vibed with them.
Played Resident Evil 4 yet?
No, so I haven't played that.
Diablo 4 recently.
Yeah, that one I'm really interested in. That's what I think will be next.
And then even just in the future, Alan Wake, Starfield, Spider-Man, who knows what else. Yeah. So it's shaping up to be pretty good. But while we're on that topic, why don't we just go over a few games that we've been playing?
Sure.
I've been playing so many games since we last did this segment. I don't even know where to begin.
Start with Diablo.
Diablo 4, yeah. This is my first Diablo ever. So I'm sort of new to this franchise. I went in with my cousin, who I've never really played a game with. He loves these sort of games. He's played Path of Exile and the other Diablos, and he's a big WoW guy. He's played WoW for 20 years. Anyway, he loves the genre. He was helping me through it, guiding me through, so that helped. But they do such a good job guiding new players anyway. And it's the same for Street Fighter VI, actually, which I've been playing. We'll go into that as well. But Diablo 4, man, you guys have got to play this thing. Damn, right. I'm having fun. I'm like 40 hours in 5 days.
Wow.
I haven't seen the sunlight. I don't know if it's that long, but I did beat the campaign. I did beat the story.
Wow.
And I thought for a game of this nature, the character development was up there with a God of War Ragnarok. Really great characters, I thought. You know, the gameplay is super addicting. You've got 5 classes to choose from sorcerers to druids to
rogues.
A rogue, which I chose. I actually chose rogue. I went down the Oliver Queen. I went down that road.
You failed the city.
I would usually go barbarian or some sort of melee.
You always go the brawler.
Yeah, I always go the brawler, but this time I'm like, come on, Dan, just do something different. So I went for the rogue, which I would never go for, and specializes in arrows and that sort of thing. There's so many builds just within that class that you can come up with because the skill tree is so dense. Yeah, there's so many options that you can go down. I end up going with like a little poison build that worked for me where you'd poison enemies and there'd be raining arrows down. But I'm experimenting because you can reset your skills at any point, really. It costs you a bit of gold, but you can reset them and respec, which I love doing. Yeah, I mean, I can't recommend it enough.
So story. Talk to me about story. So you talked about character development. Is my boy Tyrael in this game?
Tyrael? Who's Tyrael?
Yeah. He was a dude from Diablo 3. He's got a super sick name and his super sick character design, but I'm assuming he's not in this one.
No, I don't remember seeing a Tyrael. Yeah, the story is interesting because if you're playing co-op, if I'm playing co-op with my cousin, he wants to skip the cutscenes and I'm sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, I'm watching them all, but he's got to sit around and wait. But what I'm saying is these type of games, sometimes you can fall into that where you're not paying attention because you're playing with friends. Do you ever get that when you're playing co-op games?
Yeah.
You're not fully into the story?
Dude, the amount of times we've played Rocket League and I've just completely fallen off the cutscenes, I'll tell you what.
Damn. When we played It Takes Two, I was pretty engaged.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. When there's a game like that that does the cutscenes well, like this game, you do get engaged. Like, I love the main villain in this. This is an iconic villain, Lilith.
Mm.
Brilliant performance.
I'm assuming she's the one who's on the main cover.
On the cover, stuff.
Yeah.
It just ramps up. And I would say the characters are better than the story. It's one of those ordeals where the character development is better than the overall overarching sort of storyline, if that makes any sense. It's more about the payoffs with the characters rather than the end goal because they're doing seasonal DLCs every 3 months.
Yeah, and Diablo 3 was 12 years, 11 years that one ran for. Something like that.
Shit.
Yeah, I reckon it came out 2011 or 2012, and there would have been people playing that right to the end. How long content went for, like how often they did content, I can't speak to. But, yeah, that would have been about 10 or 11 years that's been out for.
Tell me if I'm a hypocrite. So The side quests, some of the side quests in this game are very, you know, fetch questy. Go over here, kill some enemies, bring back this thing over and over. But I don't care in this game.
I feel like that sort of depends on, it's the same as why do some games get passes for being buggy when others don't? And honestly, it comes down to the execution of it and whether the journey to do that thing is fun. And if it seems like with Diablo that just beating enemies up is fun.
Yeah.
So getting to do that is all right. And the same as in like with Survivor, it's really fun getting to be a Jedi and killing stuff with a lightsaber and using
force. I love how you were versing you were doing the single lightsaber the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. Good on literally you. The whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a little bit of dual wield and a little bit of cross guard.
You didn't like the blaster?
No, I didn't even really try. Like, I did it for the thing and then I was like, nope, no thank you.
Yeah.
I was a bit like that too, but
the game doesn't push you enough to use the new stuff.
Yeah, anyway. I would have liked it if there were some enemies where, not that like, that they come out and then, you know, they're bright red and I've got to use my blaster for this one. I just wish there was a little bit more strategy maybe. But because I didn't use all of them, maybe I don't know. Like I tried to use the double-ended and I liked that for a little bit. Then I felt like it was too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, back to Diablo.
Anyway, this
execution. It's execution of what it is and whether you're bought into what's happening as well and whether the reasoning for the fetch quest is good enough.
And you kind of control your gameplay because if you're not liking your build, you go to your skills and you reset and you pick new skills that you want to use that are going to work for you. Or look up a new build. And what I also love about this is they're known for being PC games, this sort of genre and the Diablo. And they've built this one from the ground up for console. And it shows because it works so well with PS5, man. It's just a dream. Everything works beautifully. Very polished game in general, really. The only thing I saw, pretty much no glitches. The only thing was a bit of pop-in.
Yeah.
That's about it. So very polished game. I believe the creative director is, I believe his name is Rod Ferguson.
Yeah, I think it is. Yes.
He is a legend. He worked on Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on, what else did he work on?
Gears 5, Gears
Bioshock,
4. Bioshock. Bioshock Infinite. Yeah. Infinity Blade 3.
Yeah, so look at the resume. Like, has he made a bad game? Pretty much no.
Bulletstorm.
Well, yeah. Look, that's probably the stain on his. Yeah. But even that has some loyal fans. I never really got into Bulletstorm, but he's obviously knows what he's doing in terms of leading a team and polishing a game, you know, and getting that right. I tell you what, you got to give Blizzard, just saying Blizzard, because Blizzard games always have amazing cutscenes, and this is another one of those games with this quality of cutscene. Not just from the graphical sense, but the direction of the cutscene, the cinematography, the acting, everything. Like they did it with Overwatch, Call of Duty,
World of Diablo, Warcraft for years.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like I don't think anyone can really touch them in this space. Like they're so good, the cutscenes.
Which makes it all the more of a shame that Overwatch 2 isn't getting its single player.
I know. So that's another thing with Blizzard, the microtransactional side. I don't know much about it in this game. I've heard that previous Diablos have been a bit shady, that sort of thing with microtransactions. And we know Blizzard have done stuff like that. So they've got a store. You can get a horse skin for like $20. I'm not going to buy it. So I don't really care. But, you know, they've still got that.
I feel like with cosmetic stuff, it should be like, go nuts. Price it however you want to. Do whatever you want with it. Because if you want to pay $25, really
if you want to pay it, do it. But I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So
I take real issue with microtransaction stuff when it is like direct gameplay affecting stuff, which I feel like is a trend we've sort of escaped.
Yeah, pretty much for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's another thing that look, I'm not very well versed on that, but it seems okay for now. But you got to keep an eye on it because you know these games will put out. Get the reviews out, and then a month later they'll throw in all the microtransactions.
Mm. Didn't Gran Turismo do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of games recently have done it, and it's a trick that people are – it's very sneaky, and they get away with it. So I don't think Diablo 4 will get away with it, though. So, because their community is very boisterous, very out there, very onto it. So,
let's not forget what happened when we were expecting a Diablo 4 announcement and it was Immortal. Remember that?
That guy became famous, didn't he? Remember that guy that got up and what did he say?
I can't remember.
I still remember him. I know what he looks like. He went up and said something. I'll have to look it up, but I do remember that. BlizzCon.
The red shirt guy. Is that him?
Yeah, the red shirt guy. Yeah. Oh, anyway. So they're geniuses in the marketing sense as well, because one of the things that they've introduced is the first 1,000 people to beat the game on hardcore. Will not beat the game, get to level 100 on hardcore mode.
Yeah.
So the max level, they'll get their name etched on a Lilith statue in the Blizzard head office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And guess what? So it's obviously limited time, first 1,000 people, right? Reviewers are barred. They can't do it. If you've got a review code, you're not eligible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an early access period, which costs an extra $30 for the first 4 days.
Right.
This is the sort of stuff. I mean, it's kind of genius, really.
It's very clever.
It's a bit naughty, but how many of these, you know, Diablo lovers are going to have bought into that early access to try and get their name on that statue? And
yeah, there'd be definitely a market for it.
So I thought I'd mention that as well. That was a bit sneaky, but
it's very cheeky.
It is out officially now fully. I think 50 odd people have hit 100. They're all like YouTubers who live and breathe this stuff, but maybe one of our listeners can etch their name in history.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do you remember the thing they did in Australia where if you were the first platinum, you'd get a real platinum? You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever go for it?
Nah, because there were games that I wasn't really interested, like FIFA was one of them.
FIFA.
And I don't think they had the rule that you couldn't be a reviewer.
No, they did. I asked them because I wanted to go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to go for it at the time. But so Diablo 4, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, what have you been playing, Vikarth?
Death Stranding.
I'm so excited to hear about your thoughts on this. I was listening to last week's episode and I was in the supermarket. And I audibly gasped when you said you'd been playing it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked too. I mean, it just worked out well because I was playing it. I'm playing it now as well. I'm about 5 hours in.
I think maybe.
You never get sick of Low Roar. Like,
what's the band. Low Roar? Oh, the band. Yeah. Dude, the music's good, man. I mean, I've always loved Ludens, Bring Me the Horizon, and that's always been on my gym playlist. And it pops off. But no, it's a great game. I think I'm about just under 20 hours in, but I don't know 20 hours. This is what the game PlayStation game profile says.
Yeah.
There's no game counter, which is annoying.
Isn't there?
Well, I don't think so. I couldn't find it, which is annoying because Metal Gear Solid 5 had one. So I'm like, why would he?
There is.
I could have sworn there was.
Maybe I'll have to check.
It's been a while since I've played.
I've played for a while and I'm only on chapter two. I keep saying episode, but it's so much fun. I mean, I did not expect to have this much fun just walking around and delivering packages. I love the idea of the connection between different people. Obviously, strands and the
it
story.
It is a strand game. Let's not forget.
It's a strand type game.
It is a strand game. He said that. It's a new genre. It's a strand game.
I kind of get what he's saying in a way, but. Look, I still have no idea what's going on in the story. I'm trying to piece things bit by bit.
Mate, I've finished it. I've still got no idea.
This is not a new game genre, guys. Come on.
No, it's a strand game.
I mean, that is Kojima so up yourself.
Kojima said it, man. It's a new
very
genre.
Kojima. But I love
how arrogant can this guy be? He's come up with a new genre.
He only puts his name 12 times at the start of the opening 10 minutes of the game. He only puts his name 12 times then.
Only 12?
He's very humble about that. Shit. But I mean, I think he's probably one of the few people who can warrant the arrogance he's got.
Oh, no. I love him still. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love that idea of when you're connected to the chiral network, you've got all these different people's assistance, like the roads they've built or the the ladders or whatever, you know, the ropes, whatever it is. It's I can see what he's saying, how you're, when you're doing something in your world, whether that's finishing someone else's delivery or building a road, you're impacting another person's game. And that's a really cool element. But even the combat, I thought the combat would be very weak. Obviously, combat was not something I wanted or was expecting, but it's a lot of fun. It's primarily melee. I know you sort of get the bowler gun and that sort of thing. But there's a few BT storms that happen where I just can't be bothered sneaking. So I'll drive on my motorbike through this rocky cliff and I'll just drive straight into one and then just battle the BT and then keep going. But that's fun. Like, I'm enjoying even that. Like, I don't know. It's a lot of fun. The story is great.
Did they add any gameplay features, Jordan, to the over the
years? There's a new gun, wasn't there?
Yeah,
they added nothing groundbreaking.
An electric gun.
They added a gun. Right. They added the raceway.
The raceway, yeah. That was a bit of a gimmick.
A few
that was
extra right. things. They added like the bot that will follow you. Like, you can put your deliveries on it and walk with it and it follows it. And there's obviously, with the raceway came the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was
the
just
the Tesla remote. Car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I think a few weeks ago we were talking about how annoying load management is in video games.
Yeah. And that's what capacity. It is.
That's like all of Death Stranding. And that's just fun.
Yeah. But that is the game, isn't it?
Yeah. That is the game.
It thematically matches.
Yeah. It thematically matches. And it's funny when it gets annoying when, like, I've got so much load capacity and then, like, 1 meter from the terminal, I fall over.
Yeah, and you trip over the doorstep and like damage it all.
Yeah, but
the physics are pretty good.
The physics are great. It's just
Decima engine. It's incredible engine.
I just think it's so much fun. Engaging, the gameplay, it's engaging. Even just the deliveries and wanting to get everyone on the network or build these roads. It's great. Even just like the other day, I just literally put everything in my private locker and just equipped grenades and the bowler gun, and I did like a raid of the mule base, and I had a truck, and I was just like, I don't know, just there was a freedom in the way I could play where I just wanted, because I just armed myself with equipment in order to take down the mules, and then I raided the base, and I did that a couple times. But yeah, phenomenal. I'm having such a great time with it, especially hot off the back of Jedi Survivor. I've never, you know, playing a game back to back for me is a rare thing, so especially a game of this length. So yeah, really excited, really loving it.
Do you get transported when you're walking in the valleys and in the distance there's an objective and you're struggling, it's raining, and then low roar plays?
Yeah, that's good. And the camera zooms out.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, you do.
This sort of vibe.
Yeah. Kojima's always been really good with the music. But, yeah, I've seen him definitely move more to licensed music like MGS5 and this game, as opposed to
you
know, Harry Gregson Williams or that sort of thing in Metal Gear Solid's 2 and stuff. So I can't wait for obviously to finish this game, Death Stranding 2, whatever Kojima brings in the future. But yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. It's
you know
so
what's
much
sad
fun.
About 2? So the low raw main band
he died.
It's so sad.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
But because they were a big part of that music, a lot of their songs. That's why I mentioned them so many times.
Yeah, them and Churches.
Yeah, they got like 20 songs in this game.
Yeah. There's definitely a moment I can think of where you go over. It's one of the real first big long deliveries you've got to make.
Yeah.
And it might be to Anchor City or something. I don't remember. It's where the ships are.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know the one I'm talking about.
That's the one, man.
And you go over the hill. And you can see it at the bottom of the hill, and then Don't Be Serious starts playing.
No, you can't forget that. Yeah, that's hard to
never forget it.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of too. Yeah.
And
is that the song that plays? Don't be so serious.
Yeah.
Have you done that bit, Vike? Have you done that yet?
I think so. Yeah. Is that when to get to port? The Port Knot City?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yes. Yeah. It might be Port Knot City. And there's like shipping containers or something.
Yeah.
Have you met Troy Baker?
I have. You can't not.
Did you have the same feeling I had where it was like, are we supposed to not know that it's Troy Baker and not know who he plays?
It's if you know it's Troy Baker, then it's good. Yeah.
What's
it's
the
so
rock
funny.
Song, what's the rock song guy from Miles Morales doing here?
Guillermo del Toro, Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen is really I love that war section. I don't want to spoil it for you, Ike, but man, that's
no. I've only seen him through flashbacks as with the BB. So
yeah, you'll be seeing more of him.
And I'm only on chapter two, and I'm like 15 plus hours in. So I'm in for a long one, and I'm clearly enjoying it a lot. So
yeah, no, just there's so many nice character moments. Like there's so many chapters where I didn't expect it to hit as hard as it did. Like there's some particularly in the middle, and it's like, wow, I didn't think I'd actually care about his character, but here I am.
What do you think of Norman Reedus as a main protagonist? Is he a bit flat for you guys, or do you, you don't mind him?
I like Sam. He suits the vibe that they're going for. You know, he has that fit phobia of being touched. He's quiet guy, grunty. He gets angry when he needs to. Like, I think it's a good performance from Norman Reedus.
I think he suits it.
So far, yeah.
He's not my favorite actor, and not an actor that I think is amazing by any regards, but I think he plays his character really well.
Yeah.
You got to give him the right material, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember him in Vacation? Seen that film?
Yes.
I only know him from The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yeah.
You'd make you'd make hot water come out of the cold faucet.
Oh, man. Okay, Jordan, you finished Jedi Survivor.
Yes, with reports out of the way, I finally finished Jedi Survivor. I say finally like it's a bad thing. Yeah, but I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, I am at the moment, I'm still sitting at that I think I like Fallen Order better. I potentially like the story of Survivor better, but I liked exploring the worlds in Fallen Order better.
If
that makes sense.
Is that a level design point of view?
Yeah, level design. I didn't really like having to come back to Kobo all the time and having to keep doing that. I got sick of coming back to Kobo. I was much more excited. And I know that it was like, oh, bits of the map you haven't been to or whatever. But I am much more excited, like, getting that notification that there's a new planet you need to go to and going, oh, all right. What's this one going to be? Is it going to be a desert? Is it going to be this?
Five planets, right? Four.
Yeah, four planets, and then like
I don't count the last one.
Yeah,
really.
What was? Oh yeah, Tanalore. Yeah, yeah. That's not a because and the funny thing is, if you really think about it, Jedha and Kobo were both really open, right? Like Jedha was huge, and then the other two were like the small, confined, quite linear.
Yeah.
And what I realized was, like you, Jordan, I actually think those maps were better. I looked forward to revisiting those because it's linear and there's like secret areas. It's sort of, I don't know why I'm having this connection.
It's got the FromSoft formula because it is the, oh, can't go that way. Go around a little bit. Oh, that's a shortcut now. Like what it is.
I was thinking of a different game. I was thinking of Lego Star Wars when you free play and you can unlock new areas in the linear level. Hey, but like, no, Elden Ring.
I get why you were thinking it, but it wasn't where I was going.
No, but you're right, and I was excited to do that, which is why 100% at those worlds. But Jedha, I told you guys, I spawned in ready to 100%. I panned my camera 360 degrees and I'm like, this is too much. I'm going home. So I just didn't bother trying to 100% that game. But I liked the design idea of the fact that it's the same world, but within the world, there are so many layers because it's not like, or in some areas it was, but it wasn't really like, okay, you've advanced enough to unlock this insanely new area. It's more that the same area, there are certain platforming elements where you can't go yet.
Yeah.
And it sort of opens the world in that way, which, you know, it's sort of probably doing the same thing, but I liked it. It just felt a bit more contained and a bit smaller. But yeah. What did you think of the story, Jordan?
I did really like the story.
You did or you didn't?
I did. Yeah. I really like, I don't know if this is spoilers, I like that there were some High Republic elements in it and that High Republic is sort of, in a way, now joining the main canon. Not that it's impacting it in a way, but where it's being acknowledged in proper Star Wars stuff now that the High Republic happened and that we have a bit of a precedent and an idea of what it was like before Episode 1, like a long time before Episode 1, because we only really had, like, you know, originally we had Knights of the Old Republic, which is, of course, not canon anymore. So the fact that, like, that's happening, I really liked. And I liked that there was some some glimpses of what the Jedi Order looked like when it was flourishing and when it was, yeah, thriving. So the bad guy was quite compelling. I loved his little story.
Yeah.
I loved...
Which one are we talking about?
Well, Dagon Gera.
You know he's an Aussie?
I did not know that.
An Australian.
I liked Ravis as well. He was cool.
Yeah, Ravis was compelling, especially because...
Just needed more of him.
Yeah, needed more of him. And when you have that last boss battle with him, that as much as he was this big, you know...
He was a good chap.
...anti-alien, he was like this...
He was more nuanced than a normal villain. Yeah.
Yeah, like he had this respect.
The nuance.
He had this respect for Dagon. And like that was, that's what I wanted more of him. I thought he was a really cool character. And even the other bad, you know, the final bad guy, I thought, I was telling Dan this last time off air, where I sort of said, when the story changed, I rolled my eyes because I think that story tripe is so overdone. When they introduced, or when we learned more about him and about who that villain was, I was like, damn, this is actually really cool. They saved themselves from me being annoyed because, that plot tool of what they did, it's so overused in media. And I'm trying to navigate carefully so we don't spoil, but if we want to use a spoiler tag, I'm happy to get into the spoilers. But it was great.
Let's talk spoilers for the next 5 to 10.
Okay, so 10 minutes.
We're gonna give a brief on quick spoilers on Jedi.
Yeah,
10 minutes.
So first, I want to know what you guys thought of the Seer death, and did that hit you emotionally? Darth Vader coming in, all that.
It hit me emotionally, but I was more like, "Fuck, this is sick."
Yeah,
that's what I said. That's what I said out loud. Fuck,
especially because. It's a problem that we've spoken about before with Star Wars, with this inevitability of we know what's going to happen. We know what characters survive and don't. But they had me. She didn't, did she? And then you look down, it's like, no, she didn't. And it's like, oh, man. So cool.
Yeah. It's cool. She actually held her own, which is really cool.
And like he just stumbles off. He doesn't even finish her. He just stumbles off and he's like, oh, it's like, man.
And it worked because that was the end of her. She had her use in the story. I think like that was a great end, a fitting ending for that character. Yep.
Especially because now like Cal's watched another mentor die.
Mm.
And
his master. You know,
and then that ties in with some of the stuff that gets teased towards the end and what it could mean in the third game.
And I'm sure she'll be a Force ghost in the next game.
Yeah, and she already has. So you'd assume that she'll be back next time.
And maybe, now that I don't have to navigate the spoiler chat and just go straight into it. Yeah, when I was talking about the twist of Cade, when – is it Cade?
Bode Acuna.
When he did the betrayal, because as soon as I met Bode in that first mission, I'm like, this guy's going to betray us. Like, maybe I've just watched too many CW shows, but there's just so many betrayals. Every bloody property has a betrayal that it's just become so overdone. But then when you find out he's a Jedi.
That's like, where they got
nice.
Me.
Dude. Yeah.
That's where they went.
And it's not even just that we found out he was a Jedi. It's the way we found out. And he's just, you're not the only one who survived.
That was so good. And then he has a kid and he's just a bit more nuanced. And
it was great. Because it wasn't black and white. It was gray.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the same as Dagon, where Dagon wasn't black and white either because... He had a sort of a compelling reason for betraying the Order and killing the people he did because he felt like they had betrayed him because they didn't come in like...
Yeah, they're not traditional villains like Joker who just wants to watch the world burn.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
But I think, a ruby the size of a tangerine.
This
is how you should do a villain where the reader or they need to understand.
Well, he's not a villain. That's the whole point.
Well,
that's why you like it, I think.
Because it's you understand their motivations. When you understand their motivations, that's when they become compelling as the antagonist, I should say. Maybe not villain antagonist. Yes. And look, I've always long said that the Jedi Order in any Star Wars actually don't come off that well. because they're arrogant, they're, you know, too detached, they're, you know, too, they're like a religious order that's, they're, you know, trying to trying to put their mark on the world. Like, you're a religious organization or religious order and you're trying to, you know, regulate the world. And I don't know, it's, yeah, it's a really interesting concept, and that's why a lot of the Sith have this, like, I will forever say, and it kills me that the prequels didn't do the best job. Like, they did a decent job, but Count Dooku, man, and Qui-Gon, like, if you see them in other materials, you see how, like, Count Dooku makes so much sense, man. Like, he makes so much sense for why he became a Sith, why he turned to the dark side. Like, he just saw the inadequacy of the Jedi Order and how it just wasn't complete. And even Qui-Gon saw that as well.
Was
and,
Liam Neeson in that show?
Did yeah, he come yeah. Back? He voices him in Rebels. And
no. Did he come back Clone for the, Wars? The Kenobi show? Like,
yeah,
live
he does.
Action?
Yeah, yeah.
He does.
Yeah. And
it's sick.
Yeah, it is. It's good. But I like that whenever you see Dagan, he's like, yeah, the Jedi Order, they kind of screwed him over and they didn't understand. And I liked that. So I just think the villains, Dagan, Ravis, Cade, or Bode, sorry. They
Cade. Wait, isn't that Cade. Destiny?
Cade.
Yeah, Cade, see.
That's where I'm getting it from. But they were great. And even the female bounty hunter, like at the end, Cage.
Yep.
That was really cool. I don't know, Jordan, if you've seen the ending, if you get all the bounties.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I've heard what happens.
Yeah. So it's just actually the game has really great characters. I think that's one of its strengths is that the characters are really good. And I kind of sucked that we got Bode's daughter at the end of the game and she has good dialogue and we don't get more of it because there's not really many missions. If, you know, once you've completed the story,
there's probably one dynamic that I'm not the biggest fan of, that I might be an outlier. And it's the romance with Cal and Meron.
I liked it, but at the same time, I get what you're saying.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't know whether it's because I'm not a massive fan of Meron's performance.
I think they lack chemistry, to be honest, on screen.
Yeah. It's sort of hard when she's an alien, but I feel like she's got a bit of the nebula going on.
Yeah, but Chris Pratt and Zoe...
You've actually nailed it, Jordan. Can you do that again? That was brilliant.
Do Nebula. Looks like she's out of breath all the time. Gamora.
So true. It's actually really good. Yeah, you're not wrong.
But I understand what you're saying.
Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana, she was an alien.
Like, look at him. Look at the performance, though. That's what I'm saying. Where I think it's the performance that hurts it and sort of hurts the chemistry. Yeah.
But I don't think it's a bad performance.
I don't think it's bad. I just don't
just
know.
Just not outstanding compared to...
I don't know if it's outstanding, and I don't know if it suits the character. Oh, no, not the character. I don't know if it suits the romance angle that they were going for.
Because you've got Greaves. Greaves is such a great character.
I like Easy money, baby.
Yeah.
It's just weird because I know that the Jedi are not meant to love. I always found it weird that Cal was in this romantic... I'm just like, this is what happened to Anakin, mate. And look what happened to him. Like, you know, it's they're not allowed to have attachments. And that's always a big thing about the Jedi Order and then the Anakin and Obi-Wan. And, you know, if you look at the Clone Wars show, like Obi-Wan, there's a romance with Obi-Wan and he had to like say no. And, you know, it's a big plot point. So I just find it weird that.
Isn't that sort of what's fueling part of like what, or not fueling, but what Cal's coming to grips with now, seeing what the Jedi Order did to Dagan, where he's like, the Jedi Order didn't get everything right.
Yeah.
Like not
they need to double down on that and say detachment like that is not it's not sufficient. And I think that's where they need to actually say, well, the Jedi Order are not perfect. And I think that's a good angle to go down. But what do you think of go down.
Well, I want to know what you guys think of the ending where, you know, Bode is gone now and his daughter, I forgot her name, but she's now going to be a part of the ship. And
that's what I said. Like, I liked that. But then by the end of the game, there's nothing like she had good dynamics. Like she had actually good conversations. If you talk to her on certain planets where she would talk to you and Meron and I don't know, you know, going back to that Bode's home, she says some stuff. But then, you know, once the game's over, you don't get much time with her. What else is there to do?
So is it him transitioning into possible fatherhood sort of areas?
Master. I reckon it'll be
master,
him being like the master to the apprentice next time.
Will she be a bit older? Will she be training her possibly?
Yeah, I think it could be.
Yeah, I think Cal will be, like you said, Jordan, it'll be a master apprentice relationship. And I think that's a great dynamic because, I actually really liked Cal this time around. And I think he's just become a much more fleshed out character to the point where a third game, I know we've seen it with Last of Us, I know we've seen it with God of War, but the implementation of a daughter and the paternal angle of a story actually would do really well for Cal, I think.
I want old man Cal. I don't want like 2 years later. I want 10, 15 years later.
Boy.
Because now, he will want to protect that girl now. Because she was great. She was lovable and they did a great job with her and you felt sorry for her.
What did you guys think about the combat, the secret areas, the legendary enemies, the force tears, all that sort of force tears, I should say.
That force tear that we were talking about earlier, man. The one with...
What is it? The spawn
I reckon it took me about an hour to do that. It felt like it. That's when they took the platforming too far. Like, this isn't a platforming game, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it, really. That's a completionist sort of issue.
But you know what, Dan? I get reminded of Black Ops 3, is it? Where you could do those platforming levels, and it was actually a lot of fun. So I can understand games that don't do platforming that have a platforming section that actually works well if the mechanics are there. I think the mechanics are there. I will say, though, sometimes it wasn't snappy enough.
That one felt janky.
Yeah, like it wasn't snappy enough. Sometimes I would jump onto a wall run and be running in the opposite direction because my camera was slightly like it wasn't, you know, I've always been a long proponent of if you're going to have a hard boss, if you're going to have this mechanic, if you're going to have this sort of level design, you have to have the technical mechanics down pat to back it up. Elden Ring, the hardest bosses I've ever faced. And it was frustrating to die, but I could never blame the game because if I died, it was fair, right? But then I would play games that were just far too difficult for its own good because the mechanics weren't there to support a game of that difficulty, of that speed, of that movement and camera movement. I can't think of a game off the top of my head.
Kena, Bridge of Spirits.
Yeah, Kena, yeah. See, like the angles, the camera, the movement, it just wasn't there to support a game like that. Even the platforming and... That was a frustrating last boss, Kena, I remember.
It didn't need to be that hard for what the game was.
Exactly right. And but it's Jedi Survivor, I think, like you said, in the platforming, just was the mechanics of the platform just wasn't finely tuned enough to warrant platforming.
It felt good the whole way through, but when you got into some of those sections in the force tiers.
It's a tear in the force.
Yeah.
When we got into some of those, that's when it started to show its age, or not its age, it's sort of to show its weaknesses.
Yeah, its vulnerabilities.
In those areas, yeah. They were pushing it a little too far.
Did you do the spawn of Ogdo and the sun?
Yes, I did.
Jordan, have you done that one?
Nah.
Okay.
You can spoil it for me. It's fine.
I don't like one-shot kills.
It's just hard, man.
I don't like one-shot kills. I think they don't need the one-shot kill.
Yeah, because, same with like the Rancor with the grab.
Yeah,
because Jordan, I'm assuming you would have versed the spawn of Ogdo or the game Jedi. Well, he's there in Jedi.
It's Fallen the frog Order. In Fallen Order, isn't it?
Yeah, but Jedi Survivor, you would have encountered him on Jedi, I think. Like it's not unskippable, but there's a place. Yeah, maybe where
I don't remember off the top of my head. Let me have a look.
It's like the floor opens up underneath you, and you get tricked into, and you get like you fall into this pit.
That's actually not. You can miss that.
Okay.
You can miss that. Yeah, I found that after I'd beaten the game. I fell down and I was stuck and
I don't remember seeing this. I know that I've seen the frog, but yeah, I don't remember seeing this in
it's a tough battle and I hate insta-kills. Like they're just so because do you know what the thing that pissed me off about the insta-kill, Dan? if you have an insta-kill, cool. But don't give me this long, I have to sit there for 20 seconds because the Rancor's holding me and I can't do anything and I just have to watch it or the tongue catches me and I just have to sit there for 10 seconds while he reels me in and chews on me and I die. I'm like, and it's just so annoying. Like, I wish I could just, and there's no like restart checkpoint really. Like, it was just so annoying waiting.
In a one-shot kill in that sort of game is a bit annoying. Yeah, I agree. Because it's not just a respawn you're in. There's other, like,
yeah,
and you've got to run back too.
Yeah, you got to run back all the way back, takes 5 minutes, and then you die in one shot again. It can get annoying.
It's so annoying. That's where the blaster stance really helped, because you could just do dodge, force dodge, and then zone.
You got to zone that guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going in close with him.
Yeah, such a joke. But there's no way. It's good. It's a good game. I think the story is great.
I'd movement, say it's a great game, honestly. Combat. I'd I say like it's a great game.
I'd say great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Good 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's what I say, 8.5. Mm. Having fit reflecting on the story, I could go a 9, but I think 8.5 is more fitting, especially because maybe this is what led to Kobo being not as fun as it could have been. Just some performance problems. I didn't have any crashes. Actually, I had one crash with it when I went to fast travel once. But then, dear, just the frame rate in Kobo in certain points.
And I think what annoyed me as well is the bounty hunters all glitched for me, so they wouldn't spawn. And because I wanted to, so I didn't spoil myself for Cage, but Dan told me that make sure you defeat all the bounty hunters. So I was really excited to do that. And there was a time where I spent like a good 2 hours trying to figure out, like I did other missions, came back, tried to do this and tried to get them to spawn, quit the game, all this. Never happened. I'm like, stuff it. I give up. And now I just watched it on YouTube, the cutscene. But like, that's disappointing, you know?
Yeah, that is.
Because I was really excited to defeat the bosses. Or, yeah, I don't know. So I think that's what's holding me back from saying it was an amazing game is because, and there was times where I crashed. Like, I think it wasn't the Ogdo one, but I defeated a legendary enemy. It wasn't that hard, but it was still a legendary enemy. And then, you know, 2 minutes down the road, I was going to a save point, game crashed. Had to do it all over again. And, the save point was another 5 minutes or 10 minutes before that. Yeah. So it's just...
Yeah, I had a few crashes.
Was it Rick the door? Was it Rick the door technician?
that was a funny... That was a good one. That was a funny one. And you know what? I also loved the board game. That was good fun. Did you play that one, Jordan?
No. Is that the tactics one or whatever it's called?
Yeah. Upstairs.
No.
I need to make it a full game. I'd play it.
I'd play it. Did you even try it, Jules? No?
No, I haven't tried it.
What? Yet. That's criminal, try man.
It. It's good fun. It's good fun.
That's criminal.
Because there's enemies you've scanned. They're playable.
Yeah, I've been trying to scan everything. Yeah, undecided if I'm going to platinum it or not. I have to see. Don't know if I've got the patience for going back through levels and stuff, especially but looking at some and being like, oh, 65%. Ugh, that's 35% I've got to do.
Do you know what I will say? I really liked the other decision they did where Cal can wield the dark side. I think that's not a thing they do enough in Star Wars, because one of the reasons why I loved Mace Windu is because Mace Windu can wield the dark side. He wields a dark side as well as a light side. It's such a cool element, and it's cool that Cal can do that. So I think Jordan, going back to the game after you've completed it and now you've got the dark side, it might make the game a lot easier because you can just fly through a lot of it. But I hope they visit that, you know, especially with this young girl that he might be mastering and mentoring, and Cal's got this, he's got this touch in the dark side realm. Like it's, I don't know. I hope they build on that.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll probably talk about this another time leading up to the next game in a few years when they announce that. And because this is a trilogy, I mean, it's so obvious.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And we look forward to that.
It'd actually be cool if it was more than a trilogy. I'd love it because like these adventures are pretty self-contained, because as much as you might need to know some stuff about the crew, like Seer and Grease and that sort of thing, they do a pretty good job being like, oh, these are the people we ran with, and you're getting like, so they're pretty self-contained. So it'd be cool if this kept moving forward and we know.
With Cal or someone else?
For the time being with Cal, but it could be all right if, you know, I it's stereotypical to say that in the third game, something happens to Cal and then the girl takes over, but maybe.
No, but they could do that, couldn't they? Yeah. And then the next three games they do. With
or
her.
Not Cal doesn't die, but you train, you train.
You just her, you play as her.
Yeah.
Cause we play as, her. I don't think you guys, I forget, but you play as Seer in both games. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So.
And it was cool that she felt so much more powerful too.
Yeah. I love
that. Was cool.
Yeah.
That
was cool. That definitely makes sense because she's like the master, eh?
Yeah.
I want more Sith. I mean, Darth Vader was there for a bit.
What, you want to play as a Sith?
Yeah, this is the problem.
No, I just wanted more Jedi battles.
we know that like the only two Sith were Darth Vader and the Emperor. Palpatine.
Maybe maybe in the next game you'll have a choice to be a Sith Lord or a...
Don't give us choice. Tell
us. Well, they might.
I think Jordan, you're right. That's where the Inquisitors came in, because that's your way of dealing with it. But
he's something not, I just don't see him being bad guy, Cal. He's too much. He's too lovable.
He is, but he has the dark side, man. They need to play on that. They did that with Rebels when Ezra had the dark side in him and the holocron. The
Sith but how
holocron.
Do you play on that in a gameplay point of view?
That's a good point. And they kind of did it with the dark side powers, but it'd be cool if, I don't know, there were consequences.
Especially when, like, he's already murking everyone.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. This guy's already a killer. I mean, he's killed about 2,000 stormtroopers. Oh, shout out to the stormtroopers and the droid dialogue. That's some of the best.
So funny. And you mind trick them.
Brilliant way to do levity in a game and keep it sort of light as well.
The droids.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get into a few news bits before we head off?
Yeah.
So we'll touch on this one more time and finalize our thoughts on the Overwatch 2 debacle. There's no story mode coming.
What a joke.
I think it is a bit of a joke, to be honest. Because that's what warranted a sequel was the story mode. What else was there a sequel for? Like that was the main bit. And what's gone wrong here that they've cancelled it? How is it that bad? Like, could they just not translate that gameplay to a story perspective? Do you think, like, what went wrong?
I just don't understand. Maybe Vi can elaborate.
Well, I think it's just been heavily mismanaged. And we've seen this for a long time, even before Overwatch 2 came out. We saw how it was troubled in development. It was a big problem. I mean, the fact that Overwatch came out in 2016, so it's been 7 years, 6 years before Overwatch 2 came out. What a joke, you know. And not only that, for those maybe 4 years or 3 years post-Overwatch, there was just this content drought because they were saving everything for Overwatch 2. And it's just, I don't know.
And the story, wouldn't there be cutscenes that they've done and stuff like that?
What frustrates me is the potential they had, because I remember a day when everyone, including myself, Kyle, like, we hung on every single cinematic. It was like this, like, when it came out, it was like a thing where it was like, you know, I got the popcorn out. It was like this cool thing. And then people would analyze the, you know, the pregame dialogue that characters would have in the lobby. And, you know, there's so much lore in that, you know, Reaper and Soldier 76.
How they interact. Yeah.
And things like that. And it's and they could have just made a campaign. And how many people would have bought that because they loved the story of Overwatch and the characters, but they just haven't. They've done nothing with it, I feel like. There's nothing. I mean, yeah, comics, great.
It's actually crazy when you think about how crazy. They're leaving millions and millions and of dollars on the table.
And then how much did everyone love the events, like the May snowball fight or Lucio ball or these sort of things? And I don't know, once again, the content's dry or the characters, and I don't know, the characters are good. They've been doing well with them, but
I can see this pisses you off. It's actually genuinely pissed off about this.
It's just a waste of potential. I don't know. It's and the fact that Overwatch was the game of the year, and it was probably one of my most favorite cherished games I've ever played. It was my most played game on PS4, hands down.
You know what Overwatch 2's, you know what Overwatch is in translation to in the tennis world? Nick Kyrgios.
Dan, don't get me started on Nick Kyrgios.
Do you agree? Similar.
Oh, there is no tennis player I love more than Nick Kyrgios. I freaking love him. I think he has the potential to be the greatest in the world, but he just doesn't do it. He wastes it.
He's simultaneously the most frustrating.
And I know, man.
And he's so easy to hate. Like, I like him as well, but I totally understand why people don't.
Like, he's got one of the best forehands in the game, one of the best serves in the game.
The cameras.
Athleticism. Yeah. Oh, man, I can't get over how. Yeah, I mean, I love him, but it's just hard to, it's frustrating to watch when he could be, he's world number one potential. He's world number one talent. He just doesn't reach it. Overwatch, clearly game of the year, and Overwatch 2, underwhelming. The design decisions they've made with the 5v5, and I know why they've done it, and I don't know. It's just lost its magic. It reminds me of Warzone, Dan, where Warzone 2, people, it's just not as hot as Warzone 1 and the way it used to be. The way it used to be, in quotation marks. And I think that's the magic Overwatch had. It was the way it used to be. And yeah, you know, the content is just like, you know, maps that are nighttime. Wow, such great content. You know, so I don't know. It's unfortunate. And then yeah, the one thing that everyone was excited for, the PvE, gone down the drain. So I'm sure there are Overwatch fans and a lot of people still play. I have friends that still play Overwatch 2.
Do you?
And yeah, like Macca still plays it, and yeah, they like it, they enjoy it. But I just think that there was, yeah, the good old days. There was a good old days for Overwatch, and sad that it's gone.
You know, there's a good old day still happening for Rocket League, baby. Let's go. Yes, sir.
Okay, are you guys looking forward to any of the showcases coming up? Summer Games Fest, I love Xbox.
It's in 2 days, is it not?
Yeah, Friday morning.
Australian?
Friday morning, Australian, yeah, is Friday, the Summer Games Fest.
Are we?
They are showing fairly certain of the Cyberpunk DLC.
Yep. Mortal Kombat 1.
Mortal Kombat 1 is guaranteed. Alan Wake 2 guaranteed. Probably something with Crash Bandicoot. There's always something.
Yeah, well, Crash is coming out. The new one, whatever it's called, comes out in about a fortnight.
Yeah. I don't know who else. He hasn't really teased much else. But
well, the 2023 partners, if you want to have a look at the picture that Jeff or Summer Games Fest Twitter put, there's Activision, there's Amazon Games, Disney, EA, Bandai Namco, Capcom, CG Product Red, Devolver Digital, Gearbox, Focus Entertainment, Epic. There's, let me have a look. There's Netflix, Level Infinite.
Yeah. Warner Brothers, maybe Wonder Woman. That'd be good. Good Tencent. Way to end it.
Mm. Yeah. Which one, Jen?
Wonder Woman game. I'd love to see a bit more on
Niantic,
that.
Niantic, WB, Xbox, Ubisoft, Smilegate, Square Enix, Sega, Techland. Dying Light.
Oh, yeah, Dying Light. Yeah, they're showing something off.
There's also the PlayStation logo. So,
Death Stranding.
I think it'll be DS. Yeah, you're
I think
right.
We're okay. Now I think we're falling into the same trap. But we're going to be
getting Last of Us Part Death 3 gameplay.
Death Stranding is definitely Death Stranding is definitely a Jeff Keighley show thing, though.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, Kojima.
I think it's too early.
Maybe.
Ah, we saw a DS2 trailer last Games Fest.
Although he does love just showing random like cutscenes.
Yeah. I'm back. He loves it. He loves it. Jordan's right. We'll probably see something.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else I was right about that we didn't touch on? Did I not nail the Spider-Man 2 trailer thing?
Yeah. So I think you ended up winning the predictions, Jordan.
You did. You dog.
In the end, you got like 2 points. We all
out of 8.
Like we did terribly. It was so bad. No, we got... We all got, you know, the category we all got right.
Definitely
what's not going to be there?
Yeah, what's not going to be there? Yeah, because that's the time.
So we got 2 points for that, and then you nailed it.
Called it.
I was just saying, Jordan, last week that I was disappointed by what they showed on Spider-Man. It just did not get me excited.
Mm. Yeah, that. I don't feel the same. I loved what they showed. I reckon if they didn't show us Black Suit Spidey, I would have probably been in the same camp as you. Not that I expected them to show Black Suit Spidey not that I even wanted them to show it either. But the fact that they did made me go, right, so it's not a secret that he's going to get the suit. Why is it not a secret? What's this going to lead to? Like, it just makes me ask so many questions. And Kraven seems like I love the way they've set up Kraven. Being a bad guy as well. It's not just like Venom and the rest of them.
Jordan, can you tell us about Kraven? I was asking Vyatt, like, what's so compelling about this guy?
So Kraven's interesting because the most famous story from him is Kraven's Last Hunt, where he's dying and he basically buries Peter Parker alive. And then from my understanding, he becomes the new Spider-Man, or he like takes over Peter's body or something like that, and then is the new Spider-Man for a while. And it's for a while. It's like in a few issues. And then, so that's like his thing. So it's sort of like, from my understanding, I could be completely getting this wrong. It's sort of like Bane, how Bane was the one to break the bat's back. Kraven's the first one who really took down Spider-Man. Yeah, that's my understanding anyway. And there's been like Kraven's come back every now and then to, you know, do whatever. But yeah, he's mainly known from Kraven's Last Hunt, where, yeah.
Which is a comic book series.
Which is a comic, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have any other thoughts on that showcase, Jordan?
Very similar to you guys. I gave it a 5 out of 10. I was pretty underwhelmed by it. I reckon it could have been a real different vibe coming out of the showcase if Metal Gear hadn't been spoiled. It could have been a real different vibe. Probably would have bumped it up a point or two. I loved the reveal of that. That was like such a cool reveal. Where the bird eating the, you know, like, and then he's just like hiding in the shadows. I thought that was a real cool reveal.
Yeah.
I don't know. A little bit disappointing. None of the live service games really did it for me.
Were you the same as me? Were you hot on Phantom Blade Zero?
Yeah, that looks great. That looks really good.
That was exciting.
Yeah, that one looks really exciting. That actually looks like when full gameplay is happening, I reckon will be different than what
we saw. That's the key, isn't it? We've got to see.
Yeah, because it's quite rapid, the combat. But, yeah, still excited with what it looked like and what the promise and premise of it. But
they had a bit of news on that game actually recently, didn't they? What did they say? They said it actually was going to be like a Souls-like game. They actually did confirm that.
Yeah, but it's going to be a bit – it's not quite open world. It'll be a bit more contained, I think they said, a bit more linear. And they also said that no microtransactions, which is good.
I love hearing that word linear for that game, yes.
Yeah.
Making the most of the DualSense as well. Each weapon affects gameplay with unique moves and combos. Yeah, so there's a few little bits and pieces that came out about that game. I'm keeping an eye on it. I think it's looking great. But, so 5 out of 10 from you, no worries.
Yeah, 5 out of 10.
So are you guys looking forward to the Xbox showcase at all?
Always intrigued. I'm not excited for it because a lot of the time they're games that don't come out on PlayStation now, which is 100% okay. So I don't go in excited. Yeah. I'm always interested though. I love a showcase. I love the endorphins that you get of like what's going to pop up next and then seeing what and then trying to figure out what it is. And I love a good surprise just for surprise's sake. So I'll probably watch it.
Will you watch the Starfield Direct, guys?
Nah, that I won't watch.
No,
couldn't get it. No,
not live. I'll certainly watch it. Obviously, I want to see the gameplay.
Four times speed.
I think of Xbox, and I'm excited, but I just think of where the hell is Hellblade? You know, I don't know where the hell Hellblade 2 is.
Well, you need to jump on my bandwagon here, Mike. I'm like, it'd be nice to see my Hellblade, but I'm not going to play it because I don't have an Xbox. So it's like, oh, well.
How are you going to play it? You're going to buy one?
Once Hellblade comes out, once there's like in the Indiana Jones, once there's that catalog, that's when
I'll Indiana Jones game. What's happening with that?
Yeah.
Haven't heard anything. Bowed, yeah. There should be a big showcase if they show all those off.
Starfield, Halo Infinite, although I'm not. Yeah, anyway. Gears of War, maybe? That'd Fable.
I do love Gears. I don't know if you guys
maybe
know
we'll
that.
See the Perfect Dark.
I'm a Gears fan.
So
you're not excited about that. What about the Ubisoft Forward event a few days later?
I'm actually curious about that.
I'm actually curious.
Show me Avatar. I want to be on Pandora.
This could be decent. They have to show Avatar, right? They've said they are. That's intriguing.
Hey guys, guess what I played on Saturday?
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
No, it's so underwhelming. Speaking of Ubisoft, I played Just Dance.
And how was that?
It was underwhelming.
It was good fun. It was a lot of fun. It was really hard.
Can you record that and put it on YouTube?
I will, 100%.
For our enjoyment?
Yeah.
We'll put it behind a $20 paywall.
$50 paywall.
Oh, okay. And that goes directly to your bank.
Here's the thing, right? We've already seen Assassin's Creed Mirage. So, you know what? We're going to see Avatar, the Crew Motorfest, maybe an Assassin's VR game, Assassin's Creed. Hopefully we see something from
the Star Wars game.
Yeah, the Star Wars game.
Yeah.
Red Storm Entertainment, aren't they making the next Division? Like, so I hope we see some good stuff.
Whatever. What's the next? Is it Division Heartland? We might see that.
Yeah.
Remember how Cell? Awful that Ubisoft one was the other year, where it was like 15 minutes of an interview.
Oh, that was bad.
Real bad.
That was Dan? Bad. Splinter Cell?
Dan?
We think
never.
Yeah.
We say, I've said Splinter Cell for 5 years now.
No, they announced
I've lost
it.
Hope. I've lost they hope, Dan. It. No, Dan.
It's already Dan. Announced, mate, Dan. A remake.
Dan, it's not coming.
If I predicted Splinter coming. Cell as much it's as Dan. I predicted Bloodborne's coming. The FPS Dan. Update.
It's not going to show. If Dan,
they're
Dan,
making it right now,
Dan,
I'm telling you.
If it shows up in this Ubisoft Forward, you can have my house and my car. You can have both.
Can I get that in writing?
Yep. I'll send it to you in writing, Dan.
All right.
Because
and he has to play in Platinum Golem.
And I'll Platinum Golem. All right. Because
if Splinter not, Cell. Okay.
It's just not happening, Dan.
Wow. Okay.
They've given up. The corporate greed. It's just not coming, Dan. They say it's in the works. I know there's credible evidence, but I just
is there anything that Ubisoft could announce that would actually surprise us?
Splinter Cell.
No, but you know what I mean? Like a game that
I would love to see another Ghost Recon, not obviously not The Division, but something of a new tactical shooter. So of the ilk of Siege, whether that's Vegas 3, which I really deep down in my heart want a Vegas 3. That's what I would love. So a Ghost Recon tactical shooter would be great, because Siege has been what? It's been
Six,
8 years. Yeah, so
it's been a long time.
Yeah,
2015 did it come out?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. So
shit, 8 years.
X-Defiant apparently looks done well. Good, people have said so.
X-Defiant looks. I really wanted to get into that beta, but I could not get in. December 2015. Six Siege was.
I'm excited to see gameplay of that.
Do you know what X-Defiant looked like? It looked a lot like COD, and in a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
In a really good way.
Do you know what we're not going to see at Ubisoft Forward?
Well,
Skull and Bones.
Metal Gear Rising Revenge.
Well, they have to show Skull and Bones, right? It's coming out this year, isn't it?
Is it?
They've said that for the last 5 years, mate.
I think they should cancel it.
But guys, you are the ship. You know how you liked Assassin's Creed and you could walk around on... No, this time you are the ship.
they could go down the route of just supporting it for years and hoping that they do a Siege with it, but...
Remember, they made a deal with the Singapore government. They can't back out of that. They have to bring it out. Yeah. So we'll see. But I'm excited for Ubisoft Forward.
Do you reckon anything Far Cry? Nah, too early.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Helen Mirren pops up, new bad guy. Or bad
Angela
girl.
Bassett. we all have our predictions.
They'll show the crew, as you said.
With Vin Diesel. There'll be a Fast and Furious pack, Dan. Watch me. There will be a Fast and Furious pre-order pack. Toretto, whatever. I guarantee it, Dan. And...
Does that Assassin's Creed, you know the one they showed off with the red... No. The red background.
The
samurai one. Does that interest you?
Nah, I'll play Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Yeah, no Assassin's Creed games really intrigue me anymore.
Phantom Blade.
What others? There's another showcase. There's a Capcom one, so they might show
Street Fighter,
Resident Evil, Dragon's Dogma. I'm hoping to see Pragmata. We haven't seen anything on that.
Remastered DMC, Devil May Cry, Cowards.
DMC, yeah, that'd be a franchise I'd like to see come back. 100%. And then I think besides that, that's pretty much all the...
we've got The Expanse, the Telltale series. It's probably one we want to finish up on. Jordan, you might have to
I feel like I've stepped into a time machine. Telltale's back. They're doing episodic releases. They reckon they're going to hit it. Are they? Probably not.
I don't know why they're doing episodic. It's a thing of the past. I think the biggest problem with Telltale has been that their games are just so similar. Like, they never updated their engine. It was just the repeat.
Whether they have now, I don't know.
And the gameplay was the same. The dialogue and the story was the same. We saw with Walking Dead. It was just so saturated with all this IP. It just lost meaning. It was far too, mass produced. So I just hope they're not going down the same road again. Why? I don't know why they're doing episodic. Is it still going to be a point and click adventure? I just don't know. And I'm not saying this is a bad decision. Yeah, I don't.
This is just bad decision making.
I would,
Why would you do
Especially because it could, for all intents and purposes, it could be good, but it's just,
it looks the exact same.
Episodic doesn't work in gaming. Yeah.
It doesn't. There's only one instance where I saw episodic. I'm probably in the minority where I thought it worked.
Was that Hitman?
Hitman. Because
it didn't work.
For me, I understood why, because it was a new engine. It means they could spend 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
20
they could spend,
minutes.
They wow. could spend months on one sandbox level, and that level you could play for 20 hours with all these different ways. That's the only reason, the only time I ever saw it actually benefit developers.
No.
I don't know if it worked, but it gave them time to figure out what they needed to do with Hitman and develop these insanely detailed, you know, millions of ways to play type worlds.
It worked out in the end. Hitman 3 was phenomenal.
I guess the only thing the only positive I can say about The Expanse is that it's a new IP. It's not contrived off some other IP. It's their own story.
It's based on a TV show that's based on a book.
Well, then there's nothing going for them, Jordan. They're screwed.
Yeah. Whether it's an original story within that, I don't know. But yeah, it's like a 10 part book series in an Amazon TV show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Tell an original story, Telltale. Just tell an original story.
And also, last one, guys, Sony Bend, they came out and said, or was it Herman Holst that said they're making a new IP? They have been since 2021. And they confirmed the IP will have multiplayer elements. And they've built off the open world systems they developed with Days Gone. Anything with that?
Every new project you're going to see, Dan, is going to be a live service multiplayer. They said they've got 10 projects, whatever, lined up. So expect this to be a live service. So Bender doing a multiplayer live service.
Well, they didn't actually say.
But it will be.
Story. Multiplayer elements.
It will be.
It said multiplayer elements. So that that makes it sound like it's multiplayer elements. We're not really in the world where there's a story mode with a multiplayer mode attached anymore, are we?
And the Spec Ops or Zombies mode.
Yeah, that's sort of gone now.
Really?
Sad.
Besides COD and Battlefield. But maybe they're doing that. Anyway. All right, guys. So, Vike, what are you playing this week? Death Stranding?
Death Stranding.
Maybe Act 3, Act 4.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm currently playing Street Fighter 6, so I'll be talking about next week. And a couple other games. And Jordan, what are you playing?
I think towards the end of the week I'll get Diablo 4. I've only got a little bit of time before I go away to America, so I've got to think carefully.
When are you going?
Play. So 20. Yeah, towards the end of June.
Cool.
3 weeks. So yeah. I'm thinking Diablo 4 might be going to tide me over and then maybe come back to Jedi to platinum it if I end up feeling like platinuming it, because I've sort of fallen off the platinuming bandwagon just with having reduced.
You told me you're not doing it anymore, essentially, unless you love the game, right?
Yeah, unless I love the game and unless it's not going to put me out too much, because I want to be able to play more games and spending 80 hours, 50 hours on platinums and stuff, especially with the limited time that I have, just puts a dampener on that. So, yeah.
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 Exactly right. Okay. It's been our pleasure to serve everyone. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. And in that review, write, Vikarth is an idiot. Take care. Be well. See
Got
you
him.
Next week. And him. Also, Kyle, you're a dickhead.
Bye bye. We will see you.
You got him, dude. Bye bye. PlayStation.